Morning. We have 107 tuning in remotely this morning, and so we're so glad that you are with us. And I want to call out the states in a moment, but I just want to remind those who are at home, we are all together with one heart before God, and we want you to know that you are near and dear to us as our church family. And so, you know, as each week passes, I suspect it becomes a little more, maybe a little more normal, but still a little more difficult because you want to be here, but you're safe at home. And so we support that. But so anyway, this is kind of a one-way message. We know that you can see us here, and at the end we can come by and wave at you and say hi. And we miss hearing from you. And so just to let you at home know how much you mean to us. So we have those viewing in states in addition to Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa, Missouri, California, Illinois, Florida, Arizona. And our computer software has one unknown state. So if we didn't call your state, that's you. Consider yourself honored. And so anyway, we're glad that... you know, in this day and age, and our guys with our sound room have put in hours and hours on the technology that we have, that we're able to do what we're able to do. And we thank God we live in a time where we can do that, and we have capable guys back there that work very hard on it. So I know that's much appreciated. News. Hold on. Let me try it again. News. Okay. News has a lot of power, doesn't it? How about this? Breaking news. Do anyone else get tired of seeing this? They wear this out. They say, listen, if they show this, I may or may not care, but if they show me breaking news, I have to see it. And so breaking news. Everything's trying to draw us in. And years ago, this was how most people got their news in this country, right? And then there was more television news, how many people would receive their news. And now on our phones, we have news. It is at our fingertips all the time. You have notifications. If you want, you can have your phone will buzz every time there's a breaking news. And that's just continual breaking in. Let me read some to you. This is just off of my Google News headline thread. Let me read you some of these. Hold on. Back up. Pelosi on reported bounties on U.S. troops. I don't know what the Russians have on the... And I'll stop because it goes dot, dot, dot. So I'm not opening it up and finish the headline. Only two U.S. states are reporting a decline in new COVID cases. Outrage mounts over report. Russia offered bounties to Afghanistan militants for killing U.S. soldiers. There's a Red Bluff Walmart distribution center shooting suspect has been fired in 2019. Let's see, Mississippi lawmakers clear path to remove Confederate emblem from state flag. Global COVID-19 cases reach 10 million. Hold on, we have some more here. 10-year-old girl killed by stray bullet, Logan Square residence. Video shows gunman open fire in Kentucky. Got another one down here. This is one I just heard about this morning. Where's the Sahara dust storm, right? In Georgia, there was a headline earlier about Georgia, and so Godzilla dust cloud from Sahara blankets parts of U.S. Headlines, news, and you read too much of this, and you digest too much of this, and here's what you get, right? You get depressed. You know, this year has been a wild ride. We have our normal daily stress. Life is hard at times, and for some it's harder more times than others, but you have the normal, and then we had this COVID thing break loose, and then we had quarantine, and that was a whole different deal. I mean, at first it was concerning, and then everybody go home and shut your doors. Did that for give or take 40 days, and And then following that, we have racial tensions and everything that that includes. And our economy, we have layoffs. And not to mention, it's an election year. You know, that's always fun for whatever headlines or news that you digest. And just general concern, who we care about who our president is. And so, anyone else tired? I mean, anyone else, you know, goodness, I'm just exhausted from all that the world is throwing out at us. And so, I want to take you to Numbers 13. Turn to Numbers 13. In the Old Testament, this is probably, I would argue, this is the premier story in the Old Testament about news. Numbers 13 is a very, very pivotal situation with God's people in the history of God and humanity. Numbers 13. So God has led His nation out of Egypt. Remember, he creates a nation and they were slaves, and God rescues them. He does all these miracles. He leads them out and He gives them His law, and Moses is leading them, and everything is set up, tabernacle, the worship, Levites, all that. They get to the promised land, and God has told them, I'm taking you to a great place. They get there, and God tells Moses, send in to the land of Canaan. So this is Numbers 13:1. Which I am giving the people of Israel. Now remember that statement. The land I am giving the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So 12 tribes, they're going to send 12 spies. This is a leader from each tribe. And these men will go into the land and they will spy it out. Okay? And they do that. They do that for about 40 days, actually. They do 40 days, and they come back. But verse 18 says, you guys go in, see what the land is, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not, be of good courage and bring some fruit of the land. So this is the land God is giving us. Go see what it's like. Here's a gift we're about to receive. Go look at it. Scout it out. And so they do. These 12 spies, they do. And they come back and they bring clusters of grapes. They bring pomegranates back. They bring figs back. And they spend 40 days doing this. Incidentally, you remember the quarantine? That 40-day period before the next phase where things could start to open up. Isn't 40 days a lot longer than we would have thought? I mean, it was to me. In fact, you know, a month is 29 days, 30 days. Go 10 more. 40 days is a little while. And so these spies come back after that amount of time. Here's what they report. Here's the news. They told them, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So in this ancient time period in history, milk and honey was a phrase that, as you can imagine, herds, you know, milk and honey being referencing fruit and things that are sweet. And so the land is good. Verse 28, however, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw descendants of Anak there, which would be giants. Okay, so you think of Goliath. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. So stop there for a second. This is what the spies are saying. Is it accurate? So far to this point, based on, you know, your knowledge and memory of this story and what Scripture says about it, is what they're saying accurate? I would say it is. I don't think they've said anything inaccurate yet. And Moses and God said, go look at it. See if they're strongholds, or see if they're just camps. See if the people are strong or weak. They come back, they said they're strong. Cities are strong. Everything's strong. Everything's good. By the way, stop for a minute. Think about it. If the land was horrible, who would live there? Right? Let's go the other side. If the land is good, guess what? Somebody's probably hanging out there. Been there for a while. Maybe built some walls. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. Don't expect God to take you to a land that nobody's discovered and it's wonderful. Yeah, there's people there. And they are strong. Verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people. He's one of the 12, by the way, one of the 12. He quieted the people. He said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." You have 10 spies, by the way, who say, we'll find out in a minute. These 10 spies, they say, "We can't do it. Failed mission. Back up, turn around, something else, plan B." Caleb and Joshua, and we have Caleb speaking here. These two, there are two spies who say, "We can do it. Let's roll. Let's go. We can do this." Well, Caleb makes this statement, verse 31, "Then the men who had gone up with him," so this is the 10 spies, "they say, we're not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we are." Let's pause there for a second. That's a problem thought. They are stronger than we are. Why is that a problem? Well, who was stronger in Egypt when you were just slaves? And Egypt, by the way, is a world power at this time. Remember? So Egypt comes at them in an army. Remember the waters, God parted the waters, and then he closes them up on the Egyptian army, including Pharaoh. And when those waters close up, they collapse on chariots. Chariots in that day and time were like tanks. Think of World War II, and if you had one tank, how much was that worth compared to foot soldiers? So Egypt was a world power. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt with his plagues very easily. So my point is, when these 10 spies say they're stronger than we are, that's a real problem in their thinking, because they have forgotten how strong God is. The same God that not too long ago performed all these powerful miracles and throttled the Egyptians. Remember, the Egyptians gave them money and gold and possessions when they left. Remember that? God did that. Anyway, they're stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report. Bad news. It's news. It's all it is. Right? These are 12 spies come back. 10 say bad. Got bad news for you, folks. It's not looking good. News. Two spies say, "We have good news. It's good land. Let's do it. We'll be successful." Bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants." So the 10 spies say, not only is the land, not only are these people strong, but the way to get there is bad. Those people are going to take us out. All the people we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw Nephilim, these giants, the sons of Anak, who come from Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. News. When you hear, the sky's falling, this is bad, that's bad, that's bad, and then you stop and you look at yourself, okay, how capable am I to withstand this? And that's what these 10 spies did. They looked at themselves, they turned around and looked at the Israelites. You know, they had just seen the giants, and they come home, they're like, "This isn't looking good. You guys are scrawny. I mean, they are powerful. We're a bunch of slaves. Can't do it." And how did the people react? How do you think they reacted? You have 10 spies that say this is a horrible situation. Two say, "Hey, we can do this." And the people, Numbers 14, verse 1, then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. They fell apart. They lost it. Right? You ever lost it? You ever felt like you're about to lose it? And honestly, when you cry or when you weep, that's your body. God designed us this way. That is your body losing it. I'm overwhelmed. I cannot hold it back anymore. I cannot process or manage how I'm feeling. That's what crying is. These people did that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So now that you know how people do, now they're going to turn on somebody. Who's to blame for this? They turn on Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt." It's kind of an odd way of saying that. We would say, "We wish we'd have died back there." That's dramatic, by the way. I mean, that is, they've been freed as slaves, and now they're thinking, we're not even saying we wish we were back as slaves and never met you. We wish we'd have just died back there. Or we wish, and Scripture says, would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is it the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? So now they're going to turn on God. Why, our wives and our little ones will become a prey. And this, from the nation of Israel, offended God. When they said, you know, they turned on Moses and Aaron, and then they said, "God, why did God bring us out here to die like this? Why is God going to do this? Because now our wives are going to die and our little ones." And remember that statement, because I think that statement about little ones dying and they're blaming God, I think that hurt God deeply. And I'll show you why in a moment. "Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" Then they said to one another, "Let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt." So 10 spies, bad news. They're ready to kill Moses and Aaron. "Find someone new. You lead us. Let's go back to Egypt." Verse 6. Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes. And you remember from, you know, Bible stories that in ancient times, first of all, clothing is very valuable. They might have one or two changes of clothes. And so when they would tear their clothes, that is the ultimate sign of distress. And so they do that, and then they give it one more try, Joshua and Caleb. They say, "The land in which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land." In other words, hey, God's given us good stuff. It's good land. If the Lord delights in us, and that's, now there's the key. And that's what separates the two good spies from the 10 bad. Is the two good spies remembered, this isn't just us. We didn't just walk out of Egypt. God brought us out. We're not just here by accident. God, you know, we didn't find this land. God took us to it. If God delights in us, He will bring us to the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. That statement, in a word, is faith. Right? That's faith. That's being in a situation that looks dire. It looks bad in human terms. And if it's just up to if it's just you against the world, then yes, we're just like everyone else in the world, and the headlines are bad, 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 bad. So hey, we need to be scared. But these two spies say, if God is with us, right? As Scripture says, basically, who can be against us? If God's with us, if He delights in us, we can do this. Faith. And by the way, just as much as that. As the rebellion of the people when they said, "This is horrible, why would God do this?" That offended God. In the same strength that happened, look at what happens here. The faith of these two pleases God so much. And it's why Scripture from cover to cover, from the beginning to the end, talks about our faith. That's what God wants, your faith. He wants you to believe in Him, trust in Him. And when times get hard, have faith and find peace in Him. So, Joshua and Caleb, they make this statement, and then verse 9, they say, "Only do not rebel against the Lord." These are wise words, by the way. Only two spies had this message, but they said, "Don't rebel. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." It's a good speech. You know, what would you do? If you hear 10 come back with a bad report, only 2 come back and say, "We can do this. God's got this. God is big enough for this." What would you do? Where would your faith be? The Israelites, think about this. You know, you probably know that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. How long? 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. And notice the word wander. They didn't travel It's not a 40-year travel distance, right? It's about a 2-week distance. Do you know that? About 2 weeks to travel. 40 years. Why the word wander? Because that's exactly what they did. And they wondered because God's punishment on this people. His punishment was, he said to them, anyone in this group, 20 years and above, you're not going into the land. You're going to die first. You're going to die in the wilderness. You're going to wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years till every one of you who's age 20 and above dies. And then God makes this statement. He says, oh, by the way, your little ones, remember when they were blaming God that their little ones would die? And God uses the same wording, your little ones, I'll bring them into the land. Plus Joshua and Caleb, those two spies. Those are the only two above the age of 20 that go in, Joshua and Caleb. The 10 spies, what did God do with them? He sends a plague, they die quick. They're done. In fact, God is so angry. If you want to know, you know, how offended was God? If you read on in Numbers 14, read on in your Bibles later. God is so offended. He turns to Moses. He says to Moses, these people, I'm tired of their grumbling. I'm going to wipe them out. Start over with you. Remember how God started with Abraham? These are all Abraham's descendants. God says to Moses, Moses, we'll forget Abraham. We'll forget these people. I'll start over with you. And Moses, in his humility, asked God not to do that. God is so deeply hurt here. And it seems that the reason God is so hurt is these people who had just seen what he had done, now they have no faith. They have no faith. And so where is our faith? I want to share quickly, and we'll wrap it up, but some things to give you faith and anchor to and believe in. Remember when God sent his son? Our whole message as a faith, Christianity, centers around this. Remember God, when God sent Jesus, the angel comes to the shepherds and says, fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Good news. It's what the word gospel means. In Scripture, when we find the word gospel, it comes from the Greek word euangelion, which means good news. We are a people of good news, aren't we? And we live in a world of bad news. You read the bad news. You hear about the bad news. We're supposed to be a people of good news, right? We're the people on the planet that says, if God's with us, this will be okay. That's our message. We're like the two spies. And so the next time you get discouraged, I encourage you to sit down. I'll give you three scriptures. Two of them are in the same book and same chapter. But here's the other one. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on that. Think about these things. That's not bad news, is it? I'm not saying ignore news. I'm not saying be uninformed. I'm not saying don't love your neighbor and don't care and all that. I'm saying we cannot live on that. That's not a good diet. Don't live on that. We have to live on the good news of Jesus. And Scripture says whatever is good, you anchor to that. And then here's the other one. In one book, one chapter, Romans 8, two passages, verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So give me bad news, and God says, I'll work good in it. I'll do good in it. Did you know right now there are people that are hearing about the gospel? They're drawing closer to God. Some of them this morning from home, partly because of what's going on. There have been people who've turned to God because of what's going on. God will work good in all things. And then Romans 8, read down a little bit further, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? That's called 2020, by the way. For us, we're pampered, church. We're pampered. We're pampered. I mean, look at history. You don't have to go far back in history to find way more way more difficult times than this, right? But for us, this is tribulation. Distress or persecution, famine, nakedness or danger or sword. Verse 38 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Does God love you? Yes. Does Christ love you? Yes. Can anything destroy that? No. Only you. If you want to walk away from it, be a fool. But only you. Outside of that, nothing can take it from you. Amen? Nothing. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter if we all lose our jobs. It doesn't matter if there's massive famine. It doesn't matter how much suffering there is. Christ will be with us, right? In this temporary life until the next life, which is eternal. And that's what God is trying to tell us. There will be tribulation. But this life is a test. It's always been a test. I don't know what part of the test is more difficult, by the way. Good times or bad times? Bad times are hard. Bad times are painful. But we tend to turn to God then. Good times are tempting to forget God. But it's all a test. And remember this. God, we have a threefold divine help working in our benefit, in your benefit, 24/7, 365. God is with you. Think about this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You have a provider, a redeemer, and a helper. You have a sovereign God, a Savior, and a Spirit. Wherever you go, you have a Father that will go before you. You have a Savior that has your back. And you have a Spirit that is by your side and in you. Your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. For a Christian, we should have our head up. And I look at this story with the 10 spies and the 2 spies, and the 10 had their head down, and the 2 had their head up, and life, from a human standpoint, looked tough, very tough. But the 2 said, "God's with us. What's the problem? What's the problem?" And that should be our message to the church. This world should look at us and say, "Man, these folks, nothing shakes them. Nothing shakes them." And we have a message to share with them, don't we? We're going to sing a song, an encouragement song. The battle belongs, make sure I'm on the right slide. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's a great song for where we are right now, because it's so easy to get down and think this is between, it's got to be my strength. But this is a reminder, no, it's God's strength. God is plenty strong enough to take care of anything in your life. So we're going to sing this song as a song of encouragement. If you have a need this morning, maybe you want prayers, want us to lift you up in prayer. Maybe there's one this morning that needs to have, you need to give your life to Christ and have your sins washed away. If there's anything you need, come while we stand and sing.
Heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. Fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory.